for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, April the 9th, 1982. Spring Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the teacher of the afternoon.
When you go to meetings like this across the country, not only here but in other places, go with the determination that you're going to receive all that you can from the Lord that is presented to you. But always remember, be sure that you can find it in the Scriptures. Just because I get up here or somebody else gets up here, no matter what their name is or how big in rank they may be in the religious circles of the nation or the world, unless you can find and be satisfied in the Scriptures in what they're telling you, don't receive it. Only receive that which you can find and be satisfied that the Scripture bears it out. Irma's going to come for a little while and speak to us or teach us or talk to us, whatever the Lord's given her.
I want to announce that some of you have come and asked for private consultations. I ask that everybody try to sit quietly while the Word of God is being read. This is God's Word, and we should reverence the Word of God, shouldn't we? If any of you have homosexual problems, lesbian problems, or have committed adultery, I want the men to go and talk to Glenn about a private consultation, and the women can come to me, and we will try to pray for you in private. Now, if you've got plain old pride, please don't come. For private consultation, right down here is where you get rid of pride. The altar. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 10. You know, ignorance has caused many of us to sin because we haven't known the Word of God. We have been ignorant of what the Bible says. I was a rebel. I'm an Assembly of God preacher's daughter. And have been saved 50 years, but that don't mean a thing because I lived for years in rebellion. Because I didn't know any better. And if they ever preached about deliverance, I never heard it. I know that many times you can hear the Word of God and you can hear things preached and the devil will shut off your mind. But I don't think that there were too many sermons in those days. And those were the olden days where we prayed them through when they got saved. But rebellion rises up in all of us. Now, the children of Israel are our examples. In the Old Testament, they were called Israel, God's people. In the New Testament, we're called Christians. But we're still God's people, aren't we? Paul says, I wouldn't want you to be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Now, I sometimes wonder if the children of Israel can even hold a candle to modern-day America. I think we're right back in the same predicament the children of Israel were in. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, I do not want to be overthrown in the wilderness. I'll make that a public confession. I want every bit of rebellion and every bit of the devil and his work out of me. I want to be without spot or wrinkle. And when I first heard the message of deliverance in 1965 or 66, I knew I wanted deliverance. And I began to seek the Lord for deliverance. Now, he says, call, and you will be delivered. Now, you can just sit there and never call on the Lord, and you won't be delivered. But he says, all that call will be delivered. So, that's why we're all here today. That's why this camp, it is a deliverance camp that God has called us to. We did not think this up. We were very happy in the aerospace industry, working in the publications department. And living in California in luxury, and we did not think up this. God did. And I don't have any qualms at saying that God led us here, because he did in many strange and various ways. And I don't want to be overthrown in the wilderness. You, Penny? We're coming someplace, people of God. We're going someplace. We're moving in the Lord. We're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you here have been delivered in the last 5 years? Let's see your hands. Praise God. How many of you want to be delivered before you leave here Sunday? How many? Praise God, all of you. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things. Now, what is evil? Do we know what is evil, really, as Christians? We are very religious as Christians, and many of the things that we call religion is of the devil. Do you know that? It's evil. Glenn was talking about one of them. But there are many, many things that God says is evil that we just kind of go along with, you know. We just kind of enjoy it. It's nice. And we want to keep it until the Holy Spirit says, it's time you let that go. It says, neither be ye idolaters. I think there is more idolatry in the body of Christ than most any other spirit. We idolize preachers. We idolize Sunday school teachers. We idolize buildings. What else do we idolize? Music. Cars, boats, pleasure, football games. Well, I'm going to get you in a minute. What else? Money. Status symbols. Oh, yes, our status. Oh, my. Pretty homes. We go to the beautiful church downtown with the painted glass windows and the beautiful pews. We idolize children. We idolize husbands, or we idolize wives. Many times, God says, no, that's evil. He says, if you are covetous, you are an idolater. Coveting money. You know, in Psalms 15, it says, don't put your money out to usury or you can't go up to Zion. Here a few, I think in Thanksgiving, we had two bankers here. And I read from the scripture, Psalms 15. And it says, who would like to go up to Zion? They with a clean heart and all these different things. And it says, and those who do not put their money out to usury. And if there's ever a time that people are interested in interest, it's now, isn't it? All right, I'll get on something else. As were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Do you know that the whole world is pleasure-bound, just pleasure-mad. They have to watch. In this state, we have the Razorbacks, and it's an idol. The Razorback pig is an idol in this state. And in other, I guess you have the Lakers, and you have this, and you have that. But those are idolatrous things if you let it get the best of you. And I know I'm hitting you and touching on your favorite little thing, but God says he wants our attention. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear his voice. And if we're all interested in all of these other things, he cannot speak to us. But he wants to speak to us. He says it's not by might. It's not all the mighty things in this world. He says it's not by power. It's not all the power. What is it by? By my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Bible says, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, then has the kingdom come unto me. Now that is a profound scripture. You need to think about that. When Norman Parrish was here Christmas, he said that the deliverance ministries will bring in the kingdom. God's people will administer the tribulation. When you get so cleaned out and the Holy Ghost gets so strong in you, there's things going to happen. there's things going to happen. Demons will cry out. And they do sometimes. What we are looking for is that anointing. The anointing that will break the yokes off of people. There's a lot of people that's sitting out here that have been delivered and are being delivered and are still being delivered. And we're all being delivered. There's many people out here with troubled minds. There's many people out here with bad conscience, torment. There's many people out here with unforgiveness. There's many people out here with wagging, gossipy tongues. There's many people out here in confusion. And we want all of you to be prayed for and leave here with what you came after. Jesus wants to set his people free. Jesus wants to deliver us. And he will set the captives free. We had a wonderful deliverance service upstairs in our office this afternoon with four ladies. It was wonderful. And I heard over in Brother Worley's room somebody screaming, "I'm not coming out." But it will. The devil is such a liar, he even lies to himself and says he's not coming out. And all the time he knows he has to by the name of Jesus. Neither let us commit fornication. There is so many people. There are people come and ask me, is it wrong to have sex before marriage? Of course it is wrong. I don't know if they're just ignorant or they just want me to say, "Oh, darling, God is love. That's all right, dear." But I won't say that. I tell you right true. It is wrong to have sex out of wedlock. But this country has gone sex crazy. You cannot even turn on a TV without hearing some horrible thing. And God is going to judge America. If he ever, ever judges anything, he will judge the sexual enslavement that people have allowed themselves to get into. It says, neither let us commit fornication as some of them have committed, and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. That's 20,000 of God's people fell in one day. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. This afternoon, there were serpents literally coming out of someone we were praying for. Serpents. Serpentines. And we need to get all of them out of us. Now, don't be so proud and so prissy to think you might not have any. God requires total honesty. Total honesty. And when you come and say, "Yes, I have committed adultery. Yes, I have been involved as a lesbian. Yes, I have been covetous. Yes, I have, Lord, forgive me, Jesus." He is so quick to forgive you and to deliver you. But you have to come. "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured." I think at 5 o'clock this morning we begin to get calls about no water. Well, we used to have a well out here that we pumped water out of, and it was kind of common, but this was a city today that cut off the water. But we can't endure very much. You know, just a heavy wind out there that blows my hair, and I find myself murmuring about the wind. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? We murmur about food, we murmur about this, and we murmur about that. But God says that he destroyed with the destroyer those who murmured. Now all these things happened unto them, the children of Israel, for our examples. They are our examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, and we are there right now, today. We are at the end of the world. We have no more time to be religious. We have no more time to play church. We have no more time to try to impress somebody. It's time that we sought the Lord. And you know, I was thinking about Brother Nelson and the musicians and how the glory of the Lord was just filling all of us. Music plays a great part in our deliverance. When David played the harp, the evil spirits left Saul, didn't they? When the glory of the Lord, when the music is played under the anointing of the Spirit, many evil spirits leave, run out of the building. Now, it is not always so with all kinds of so-called Christian music. There are many songs that are not of God. They're myths. There are many songs with a beat that is absolutely from the pit of Africa. It is wrong to play or listen to rock music of any kind, Christian or otherwise. I have to tell you the truth. It is wrong. Absolutely wrong, and it is wrong to listen to country western. All it is about chasing around with another woman, isn't it? Slipping around or doing something evil or thinking about going to the bar. That is wrong to listen to it because you feed into your computer and it stays in there somewhere. And you'll find yourself speaking out of the abundance of your heart. Your mouth will speak, won't it? I'll never forget the first time I heard an evil spirit speak. I was in Chicago at the Full Gospel Convention, World Convention, and Derek Prince was there, and a spirit spoke out of a man, and I never heard this before, and it said, "My name is Pride," and it ran up my backbone, and that's where pride lives, by the way, in your back, and stiff-necked. Stiff-neckedness is pride. Got that? Pride is what you need to get rid of. And I ran upstairs to about the 14th floor to our room. I ran in there. I took two tranquilizers. I jumped in bed, and I covered up my head, and I was a grandmother already at that time. I knew that it was the enemy, and yet I didn't know. And a voice said right out loud to me, "Now you have gotten into false doctrine. You better jump out the window." And I answered it right straight back verbally. I said, "No, I'm too smart for that." I knew suicide was wrong. And that voice has never come to me again. When these voices come to you, you ought to take your life, or you ought to become violent, or you ought to go get drunk. Say, "No, I refuse to entertain that spirit. Turn it at the gate and send it away. Turn it at the gate and send it away." A lot of you would not need deliverance if you didn't entertain the devil so much. But I needed it, and man, I needed it. And I started seeking, and Glenn kept saying, "No demon can cross the bloodline," and he kept... and we started thinking and wondering what in the world we were really getting into. And then it just seemed like that deliverance ministers just kind of come our way. And we began to really seek the Lord. And I was wanting all the time for somebody. I thought Derek Prince should pray for me. And we went to Sweden once on an airlift, and I kept saying to Glenn, "Let's get Derek Prince and have him come down in our room. And I want to be prayed for. I have demons." And he said, "Oh, you just imagine that." And but anyway, we got him down there, but I didn't get any deliverance because of fear. And I had a list. I had a nice, sweet little list. You know, it didn't amount to too much. It was just a real tiny little sweet things. It's not too bad. And Glenn says, "She thinks she has demons." Derek looked at me, and Glenn says, "She has a list." And he says, "Where's the list?" And you know how stern he could be. And I wouldn't produce the list because of fear. Now, I don't want any of you to be fearful. I know this is way out of some of your all, you haven't been in this kind of a meeting before, and I really feel sorry for you, and I really love you, and I really want to make deliverance as easy as possible. But when that thing is down in you, he's going to come out. Now, how he comes out, I can't control that, and neither can you. He'll come out the way the Holy Spirit wants to kick him out. And this afternoon, but I'll finish my story. So I came home from Sweden undelivered, but when Glenn would go uptown, I'd be so glad. And I would walk up and down my center hall in our house. It was kind of long, and I'd shut all the bedroom doors and everything, so I'd be kind of locked in this hall, and I'd walk up and down, and I'd cry out, "Deliver me, Lord, from all evil." Part of the Lord's Prayer. And I'd just cry out to the Lord, but I didn't know how to deliver myself. And I didn't know who to go to. And a man came from Washington, and some way our neighbor heard about it. She told us, and we all went. And he stayed there 7 weeks. But because of fear, I would not go down to be prayed for because I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought I was the most wicked person in the world, and I and my pride, you know, and I did not want to go down to be prayed for. And after 7 weeks, he called up on a Monday morning. We hadn't even got up yet. And he said, "The Lord has showed us that I am to pray for 5 couples. And he said, you are one of the couples. Could we come to your house and pray tomorrow?" I said, "Oh, yes, by all means." So I had seen a lot in that meeting. I tell you, if you could take his meetings, you can take anything. They were violent, and they were exciting. And, of course, we'd never seen anything like it before. It was a great big hall like this with no carpet. He'd push back all the chairs, and he'd say, "We're going to dance before the Lord." And I mean everybody danced. If you didn't want to dance, you went out the door. Everything in one accord. I watch people often when we say, "Lifting our hands, we praise the Lord." And about 3/4 of the people will lift their hands, and the other keep their hands down. And that holds back all the other people. You need to be very tuned in to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And when we praise the Lord and lift up our hands or clap our hands, do it. Do it as a sacrifice. Even if you don't feel like it, do it. It'll help you. It'll help what ails you. We overcome evil by doing good. And so I got my clothes basket. Now, we had a very prissy, beautiful house, all white furniture, red wool carpet and everything nice and lovely, and sunken living room and maid's quarters and all this. So I get my basket and I put my big beach towel down because I didn't want my rug to get messy. And I put the basket full of paper towels. And I was, and he walked in and he said, "Oh, you're ready." I said, "Yes, I am ready." You know, nothing happened like I thought it was going to. I didn't even vomit. I was standing on the upper level. He was standing on the lower level in the living room, and I was up on the, in the dining room part. And we were about eye to eye. And he looked at me, and he started naming spirits. He called out about 25 things from Jezebel on fear, pride, lust, lasciviousness, debauchery, I don't know what all. And when he broke the curse of death over me, and when he finished, there was a great big woof came out of me of air. I put up my hands and began to praise the Lord and to prophesy and pray in tongues. And I was waving my hands with my eyes shut, you know, when you get excited. And as I brushed his forehead with my hand, he fell over as dead. And I thought the devils had killed him. I went, "Oh, my land." And then the word of the Lord just started speaking out through me. And I tell you, for 3 days, I was making strawberry preserves the next day. For 3 days, I was in seventh heaven. The anointing of the Spirit of the Lord, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it to be free, to feel free. There's nothing like it to revel and worship Jesus. And about the third day, I was dancing around the kitchen, praising God, making strawberry preserves, and all of a sudden, the enemy came in. I became so fearful, and fear came back into me. But I didn't understand too much what was going on. But I had washed out a dress by hand, and I wanted to go out in the backyard and hang it on the clothesline, and I was afraid to go outside. I just became petrified with fear. So that night we called him, and he said, "Oh, another spirit of fear that had legal rights to you has come in." And so he cast it out, and he told me how to keep it out, and he told me how to deliver myself. Now, I want to share that with you. How many would like to be able, when we are not here and you're at home, how many would like to be able to deliver yourself? Now, I wouldn't say that this will work if you've never been prayed for the major spirits in you. But it will work after you've once had some of these cast out. You'll understand, you'll feel when it leaves. When you are tempted, That is not a sin. And I base my scripture on Jesus in the wilderness. He was tempted, wasn't he? In all things, the Bible says. And yet he did not sin. So when you are tempted, don't let the enemy persecute or torment you by telling you that he's back in there, because it may be only a temptation. But if you yield to that, if you are a smoker and you've been delivered of smoking, and the temptation comes to smoke and you light a cigarette, then you have sinned and allowed the spirit of nicotine or addiction to come back into you. But if you are tempted for a cigarette, and even you touch it, as long as you don't put it in your mouth and draw on that silly little piece of paper with some brown stuff in it, you have not received the spirit of nicotine back into you. It's only when you yield to. If you have been an adulteress and all of a sudden you feel that spirit of lust come toward you, and you turn it at the gate and say, get out, I'm through with you. But if you yield to it, then you get seven times worse. Isn't that scripture? When these spirits of lust are cast out and you yield back to them, you'll get seven more worse than the other one. Suppose you tell a lie. Is lying of the devil? Yeah, he's the father of lies, isn't he? All right. So you go to the Lord and you say, Jesus, I admit to you that I told a lie, and I need you to deliver me, and I need you to forgive me, Lord. I need your blood to cleanse me. And ask him to let the blood of Jesus flow down over your heart and your mind and cleanse you. And I mean, do some good heartfelt repentance. Don't just be namby-pamby about repenting. Repent. Repent. And then ask the Lord to give you the authority to cast that lying devil out of you. And you just praise God there for a few moments, and you'll feel that anointing come. And then you say, you devil, you liar, I bind you in Jesus' name, and I command you to come out of me. And do some real gut-level breathing out, and they'll come out. The devil is really more scared of all of us than we are scared of him. As soon as you practice that a little while, every time you sin, don't let that nest build up. If you lie, and then tomorrow you tell another lie, and the next day you tell another lie, pretty soon you got a real nice nest in there, and then the enemy can dart in there and hit you with anything. So don't let those nests build up. The Lord Jesus is bringing his people. You know, sometimes you know about that scripture that says the unity of the faith, and you wonder, Lord, how's it ever going to be? But he says he's going to bring us there. And it takes some perseverance. It takes some warfare. Now, last night there was a gentleman here. He's working today, but he has been the head of the coven here in Hot Springs. And he's gotten saved in a charismatic church uptown, and they sent him out here for some deliverance, and he needed a lot of deliverance, and he still does, but he's trying. And he told me about 3 years ago the coven began to break up. Well, it was about 3 years ago that we began to really do spiritual warfare here in a strong way against the enemy. It takes a lot of strength to do spiritual warfare. How many know that? It takes strength to pray against the enemy. But we must do it. And you can, Dr. Haggard will probably have those warfare prayers. They're very good, and he'll be here tonight. But they work. You may pray for your relatives and give up and give up and give up, but don't give up. Keep praying and binding the enemy and commanding him to leave your relatives or yourself. And don't give up. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And that's a promise that we need to hang on to tightly for our relatives, for those that have fallen into great temptation and sin. And this afternoon, we want to pray for as many as we can before it's time to break up here to eat. It's late now. It's already 4:10. But how many of you feel that there is something plaguing you? I didn't go into too much the spirit of death. Now, the day I was born, my grandmother was extremely angry because my mother had a second child. And I had a brother 2.5 years older than me. And my mother was an only child. And so my grandmother, who was a witch, who was a went to fortune tellers all the time, she was angry because I was born. And I believe that day I received a spirit of death upon me and a curse of death. Because up until the time I came into deliverance, I was sick an awful lot. From a little girl, when I'd have measles or anything, I'd be in bed for like 6 weeks and couldn't recuperate. And then, as I got older, I was constantly in the hospital. And when this preacher prayed against this curse of death and the spirit of death, it left me. And I have enjoyed great and wonderful health, and I praise the Lord for it. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I caught a viral infection from my grandson who brought it home to us from college. And the devil has really given me some battle, but I'm not letting him get the best of me. I stood up here this afternoon with a squeaky voice because I felt that I wanted to talk to all of you. We love all of you. We love every one of you, and I don't want any of you to leave here this afternoon without deliverance, or tonight, or tomorrow, or Sunday. I want you to come to me. If you're not getting the help you feel you need, you come and talk to me, and we'll see that you get help. Because I don't want anybody to go away from here miserable, and we want everybody that's here to be helped. And you cry out to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will show you those things that He is ready to rout out of you. They come out of us little by little. The Lord told the children of Israel, I'll drive them out little by little. I'd like to get them all over with and out today. But you see, we do not tell God how to operate, do we? We do not. And He will deliver us as He sees fit, as He wants to teach us. If we got them all out today, we wouldn't have any patience for anybody else, would we? And so God is leading us along. And our main occupation should be to follow Him, walk in the Spirit, and see what is the Spirit saying to the churches. Today He's saying, get delivered of idolatry, covetousness, stubbornness, being a rebel. I ask everybody to sit down, please. Being a rebel. Rebellious toward God, and rebellious toward people, and rebellious toward the world, rebellious toward your bosses, rebellious toward your pastor. Rebellion. If you are rebellious, you need to come up here and get delivered this afternoon. And don't walk in rebellion another day, because the Bible says rebellion is as witchcraft. And that is serious. Isn't it? How many people feel that you need some sort of help this afternoon and prayer? All right, will you just start coming? Just come up here and stand. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Look at all these young people up here. That's beautiful. That is really beautiful. Praise the Lord. I'm going to lead you in a general prayer of repentance first, and you pray after me, and then Glenn and I, and anybody else. I think we have a minister that just come in from Tulsa. Would you come up, please? I don't know if there's any more ministers in the audience or not. Praise the Lord. Now look right at Jesus. He's your deliverer, not me. It's Jesus. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we ask you to forgive us for being rebels, for not obeying your word, for being covetous, for idolizing people, for leaning on the arm of flesh,
for not giving you glory,
for burning incense,
for lusting
after evil.
Lord, we ask you to deliver us
and set us free
by the Spirit of God
and through the name of Jesus.
We ask for your blood
to cleanse us
of all these sins.
We are sorry for them, Lord.
And we thank you
for shedding your blood for us
and taking our place
on Calvary.
And we are especially thankful, Lord,
that you came out of that tomb
that we might have life.
We thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now don't pray anymore. I'm going to ask Glenn to come and give the command to bind these spirits and give the command, and you breathe them out and don't pay attention what the next door.
Patty, Charlene.
I think Kevin is gone.
Yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Father, I come in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And I take authority in that name because your word says that you give me authority in the name of your son, Jesus, over every evil spirit. And I take authority over every spirit here this afternoon, and I bind you to the day of judgment in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask for the angels of the Lord to come and take you, the evil spirits, and to take you and hold you to that time of judgment. In Jesus' name now, I command you to come out of these people. In Jesus' name. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.